Welcome back to the Recruitment Entrepreneur Podcast. In today's episode, we are joined by Legacy London Recruitment founder and director, Dana Tolson. Dana has over 30 years of experience within the marketing sector, working alongside high-end luxury fashion brands, retail, apparel, and more. Dana decided that now is the time to launch her recruitment business, Legacy London. She then partnered with Recruitment Entrepreneur to support her on the journey of launching a new business. Join us today with Dana to discuss her experience of launching a new recruitment business within the marketing sector.
Dana, I've been looking forward to this one.
Oh, no.
I really have. I think you've made such a big impact in the office. You've got an incredible team. Tell us all, how's it been?
It's been a whirlwind, and I'm not going to lie, I could sit here and be all relaxed and say, yeah, fine, no problem. It's been a whirlwind. The good news is everyone's been really positive and they haven't mind my cackle, they haven't mind my laughter, they haven't mind my occasional swearing in the office, which has been great. The team have been great, my clients have been great, the candidates have been great, and Recruitment Entrepreneur has been fantastic. Aww. So it's been, I don't want to say easy ride because that sounds so wrong, but it's been much easier than I thought it would be.
I'm really glad to hear that. I think for the listeners, what would be quite helpful is if you could give us a glimpse into your world. We know you love all the lovely things that come with Dana. Champagne, I hear.
More of a nasty girl, but we won't go there.
Oh yeah, we spoke about that yesterday. But yeah, give us a glimpse into your background, where it all started, and go from there.
So I was never meant to come into recruitment, I'll be totally honest with you. I was going to be an academic. I was going to be a historian, or I was going to be a history teacher, believe it or not. Wow. I left with a history degree and I thought to myself, I'm going to stay in academia, mainly because I was a massive nerd and because I had a stutter, really bad stammer. Wow. And I wanted a role that didn't involve me talking. So as you do, you fall into recruitment for 6 months.
Haven't heard that before.
Yeah. Took a role in recruitment for 6 months to pay off debts and loans. And I thought, I'll take this role till something good comes up. And 30 years later, I'm still here. So I loved it. I was lucky enough to work for one of the country's leading recruiters, Reed, mm-hmm. who were fantastic. They trained me up. After 25 years, I thought to myself, if I don't leave now, I'm going to stay here forever and a day. Left Reed to go to a boutique. And I don't want to be rude to anybody, but leaving Reed, they were fantastic. But it was like leaving a really structured police state and going to a 1960s hippie commune. Worked in boutique, went to work for another company for 7 years where I set it up from the start. And then I thought to myself, if I can do that for them, I can do it for me. Mm. And the rest is history.
I mean, that's usually where it starts, right? I think it's when you're doing well. The question is, I can just be putting this money in my back pocket.
Yeah.
It's a good segue into a question that I think a lot of people might have is, how do you know that you want to be an entrepreneur? What are the feelings that you get or the thoughts that you get?
That's a really good question. And I think you just know, because 7 years ago, I was approached by a recruitment entrepreneur and I declined it. I declined it to take this other role where I was a one-man band working for another agency, setting up the London office. And within 4 years, there were 20 of us. And I did it all. But do you know what? If I'd done Recruitment Entrepreneur 7 years ago, I don't think I would have been ready. But the fact that I had to do it all myself, we had no UK finance, no UK marketing, and I did it all myself, that after 7 years, I thought, yeah, I'm now ready. Mm. I'm, you know, unfortunately, I'm a woman of a certain age, but never mind. You just know. Mm. And you're chomping at the bit to get to the next stage.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's where I was.
I mean, you've been quite lucky in that you've got a fantastic team. Mm. For anybody that works in the office in London, they are good laugh, really kind people. So did you work with these before and you brought them over? Or
we did. Nisha, I've worked with for 3.5 years. George, I've worked with for 3.5 years. Interestingly, George and Nisha worked together for 8 years.
Wow, okay.
So when Nisha came over, she brought George over. So we're a very tight-knit team. However, on the one hand, it's positive, but on the other hand, you don't want that to become a challenge to new people coming into the office.
Yeah, the culty vibe.
Exactly, exactly. I don't want there to be a clique. Mm-hmm. So what I've done is that when we take on new people, they'll be reporting to Nisha or they'll be reporting to George.
Okay.
So they'll suddenly get their own teams. But I want to have that vibe of being kind, of being tolerant. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a problem with someone, you take them out to lunch, you tell them to their face. Yeah, and those are the three roles I live by.
Well, I said, didn't I? One of the first words I used to describe your team was kind. So I got that one right.
Yeah,
so it's good that
absolutely.
That's one of your values. So we're speaking about your team. We're speaking about you. For those that are listening, tell us about Legacy London. Tell us about what makes you different. Tell us about your clients. Tell us everything.
So Legacy London is a recruitment consultancy.
Yeah.
We work within the luxury consumer, FMCG, beauty, skincare, and apparel. So those are our silos. Within those silos, we predominantly do marketing, creative, digital e-commerce, but a lot of our clients then come to us and say, you know us so well, could you take on buying and merchandising? Could you take on head office support? Could you do this? Could you do that? So in a nutshell, we walk into a client primarily with marketing roles, and we end up probably filling about 90% of their roles. Mm-hmm. But the sector is a sector I love, which is fashion, as I said, fashion, retail, FMCG, and luxury. Why we're different, I think it's because we like to act as partners. Mm. We listen a lot. We're interested. We probably end up knowing more about the clients than they do themselves. I remember speaking to a client the other day. I was saying, oh, my God, that thing you did on your pop-up store. She goes, what pop-up store? I said, the one you've reached. Oh, my God, I didn't even know. I love that. So we act as partners. We listen. We're honest. I think that is something I'm really proud of. We put people first. If we can't help, we tell people we can't help.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have this, but we can give you this. What are your thoughts? And we're interested. So that's it in a nutshell.
I think if I could summarise you, you suit your industry perfectly, don't you? You really do. And you can
even
tell
with
you're
a
passionate
stutter.
About
even
it.
Even with a stutter. Yeah.
I didn't know how to stutter.
Yeah, I did. Terrible.
I never tell.
I've trained myself out of it.
Okay. So throwing a question out there.
Mm.
For those that might be thinking about launching a business and they've got amazing relationships with their customers and they think, I need to, one day I'm going to launch, how has that transition been? Have your customers been quite supportive of you launching your business?
They've been great. They've been great. I've had some customers that have come to me and said, look, you're not launching till September. Let me hang on to this role till September because I don't need it to start till December.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
They've been absolutely fantastic.
Right.
I've had some customers that say to me, actually, Dee, I'm moving jobs as well. Let me get you onto the PSL of the new role. They've been great. But then don't forget, some of these clients I've dealt with for years. Mm. There's one particular client who I first started working with at Sally Beauty. She went from Sally Beauty to Radley, took me with her. She went from Radley to Triumph, the underwear, the lingerie brand. Then she went from lingerie to Harley Davidson. And now she's gone from Harley Davidson, Brompton Bikes. And she's taken me with her through all those stages. So I've been so lucky with my clients. Really lucky.
Yeah, I imagine that's always like one of the hesitations. It's like, when do I tell my clients I want to go solo?
Yeah.
I think if you've got good relationships, though, they'll follow you anyway, right?
Yeah, and quite a few of them said to me, you know what? What a waste of time. You should have done it three years ago. Yeah. And I told you so. But you know what? That's one of the...
Yeah.
It's one of the issues of having good clients. And, you know, also candidates, when you place candidates, they become clients.
Yeah.
So I've had a candidate who became a CMO and helped me fill her marketing team. She's now left there. Not only have I got the old job back, but her new role as CMO helped me fill the marketing team. So it's nice. You know, lunches, Prosecco help. But they've been great. I've been very, very lucky.
Good. I'm glad. Talking of support, RE, you joined us back in September. Tell us about how it all went. I mean, I think it was before, well, I wasn't really involved in the conversation. I think I hadn't joined at this point. So I want to hear everything. Tell us about how it all went, how it all came around.
So James Khan said, so I approached RE because I thought they approached me 7 years ago. So they must have seen something. And I was ready.
Right.
I approached RE and it was painless. I got to meet Greg and Angus, didn't put me off, which is always a plus. And they were great. And they were saying, listen, what help do you need? We can do this, we can do that. And I am good at doing. So I am good at the client relationship, the candidate relationship, the relationship with my co-members. But having to do the logistics, the finance, the marketing, the podcast brought me out in a cold sweat.
Right.
And then I spoke to James. And James said to me, if there's one advice I'd give you, you're not starting till mid-September. He said, if you can start doing this end of August, so when you start, it's up and running and ready to go, do it.
Okay.
If you've got the time, do it. And that was the best piece of advice he gave me. Because when we started on Monday, a couple of weeks ago now, I can't remember how many weeks ago it is now, we literally had the LinkedIn page, we had the website, we had the press release, we had our CRM system, we had absolutely everything, and that was all down to RE.
And that also gives your team a bit of confidence that they're coming into something that's ready, and they can just, if anything, transition so smoothly.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons I came to RE is because if not, I would have had to interview marketing people. I would have had to put a retainer in for marketing, branding agency, I suppose. I would have had to look at finance. I would have had to pick up an accountant. I would have had to do a CRM system. That was all taken away from me. However, one thing I will say is they took that away from me, but they let me be the decision maker.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I could still set up Legacy London the way I wanted to set it up.
Yeah.
So, you know, marketing didn't come to me and say, this is your branding, you're doing it. The poor marketing girl must have sent me about 25 different branding pictures and said, what do you think? And in the end, I said, well, I want this, I want that. So the fact I could do it the way I envisaged it rather than what she wanted me to do, which
is
great.
Yeah, I think that's something that's always made clear is it is your business, it is your vision.
Exactly.
So, I'm glad that that's become true.
That worked really well.
Good. Talking of marketing and branding, obviously it's an industry that you know well. It's changing all the time. So tell us about how that impacts your clients and how you need to stay up to date with what's going on in the marketing world, as it were.
I think it helps that you have an interest.
Yeah.
Myself, my team know our market. Nisha is, I mean, she's always in Selfridges. I don't know how she affords it, but she's always in there. She knows the latest brand. She knows everything. I went to get her a birthday present recently and she said, oh, can I take your name, please? And at the time we had the same name, funny enough, the surname. And she said to me, is your name Nisha? I went, no, it's not. And she said, oh, sorry.
You're
anyway,
kidding.
Nisha knows her stuff. George knows her stuff. I love the marketing digital side. That is my raison d'etre. So I can see a client has got a pop-up store and you can go in with your mobile phone. You can click what you're looking for on this pop-up window and it will get sent to you in 30 minutes. Stuff like that is amazing. You've got clients that embed how to do videos and you hover your mouse over it and it gets straight into your basket and it clicks out and it's with you within 24 hours. Some of the new digital stuff that's coming out is amazing.
It is incredible.
So I think having an interest helps.
Yeah.
I think knowing your brands inside out and upside down, knowing what their competitors are doing, I think is key. Absolute key.
Let's say when you come to hire people, is that something that you kind of talk about in the interview process and see how would you try and uncover what that looks like with a new hire?
Yeah, I think it's not just bums on seats. It's when I hire candidates for my clients, let's say, as opposed to hiring for me. If I hire for my candidates, you are selling the client as much as you are selling the candidate to the client. So when I speak to a candidate, I will know a job inside out. I'll know the company inside out. And it's having that passion and saying, oh, my God, this company is this. And this company's CEO is so inspirational and she puts women first. And this, so it's telling them a story that you then get their buy-in. The one thing about candidates is if they impress me, they'll impress my clients.
Wow.
Now, that might not be the most experienced candidate, but if they come to me and say, oh, I've read her website, I've read her blog, I've done this, I've done that, you think, yeah, you've got it. You've got it.
I think, yeah, that's such an interesting point. Mm. I think particularly in your industry, though, because it is evolving all the time. It's just knowing what questions to ask and knowing what of it is just faceless. And is it faceless responses? It's kind of just like, I'm saying it because I want the job.
Exactly.
But it's actually trying to uncover what they're passionate about.
Exactly. And if you drill down and drill down and drill down, there was one candidate who I was wondering to put forward to the job or not because her CV was good, but I thought, no, let me interview her. And when I drilled down and drilled down, I realised she had a blog, an anonymous blog, that talked all about the industry and she knew her stuff. And I thought, yeah, you've got to be put forward. It's little things like that.
I think as a candidate or client, if thinking about what kind of recruiters you want to work with, you sound like the person that gets behind them and believes in them. So that just goes to show like the empathetic side of recruitment. You can really believe in someone.
Absolutely. And I think our recruitment, the recruitment structure within recruitment is changing.
Yeah.
So it used to be everyone was a 360 recruiter.
Yeah.
It used to be everyone bought in jobs, everyone sent CVs, everyone had interviews, everyone put bums on seats. That is now changing. One of the best recruiters I ever had in my last company, and she now left to set up her own interior design company, is she said to me, I don't like people. I went, okay, recruitment might not be the best job for you. She goes, no, I don't like people, but I love the business development. So I said, fine. Don't do the searching, don't do the candidate management, do the BD. And she was brilliant. And then you've got another recruiter who's sitting up upstairs who loves the candidate management, the candidate attraction, the making best friends with them. So I said, okay, well, don't do the BD, do the client management, do the candidate management, but don't do the business development. So I think recruitment now, you can't put a square peg in a round hole.
No,
you've got to you've got to go with where their passions are and also what they're good at.
Yeah, absolutely. You're so right.
Yeah.
It's actually a good kind of point that leads into how you measure success within not just legacy, but across the team and the structure. So looking at, I suppose, the performance of your team, also across clients and candidates, how do you measure what good looks like? What are you looking at as a founder of a recruitment business to know that the business is going in the right direction?
I think a couple of things. I think on the client side, you can break that down to clients, candidates and co-members.
Yeah.
So on the client side is when clients come back to you. They come back to you and they come back to you and they come back to you. And they say to you things like, Dee, I've got three roles. However, I want these two roles filled now and I want this role filling in 3 months' time. You've got clients that come to you and tell you the most private and sensitive information that you've got to keep to yourself, but it makes sense to their business.
Mm.
So having regular conversation with clients and clients coming back to you is a measure of success as far as I'm concerned. Candidates, when they come back to you, as I gave you the example of the CMO that moved and is taking me with her, referrals in our industry is huge. So clients refer me to other clients, candidates refer me to other candidates. And you know what? You sometimes can't help them, but they appreciate the honesty.
Yeah.
What they don't want is someone who says, I'll phone you. And you never do. I mean, be honest with them. If you can't help, tell them you can't help, but send them somewhere who can.
Yeah.
So the fact candidates, I had one candidate actually, shows how old I am now, so I maybe not give it away. But she started off as a marketing coordinator, and it took her 12 years to become a CMO within the same company. And I thought, I was so proud of her.
I was going to say, that sounds quick.
I know, like, very quick. It's a small company, but I was so proud of her.
Yeah.
But keeping in touch with them, little things like knowing when they got married, how many babies have they had, have they bought a dog? I am quite a nosy person, so that helps a lot. With co-members, I think a successful co-member is someone who comes in every day with a smile on their face.
Well, that's a sign of your leadership, though,
Diana. Well, it could be. Yeah, it could be because I buy him loads of things, perhaps. But no, it is. But no, you know, lunches every other day help. But I think the fact they enjoy what they do.
Yeah.
I had to tell off a member of my staff beginning of the year because he was working Saturdays and Sundays. I said, don't do it. And he said, but I love it. I want to do that. I said, no, take some time for you.
Mm.
But it's that passion. If they've got passion, I know I've done a good job.
What would you say is your favourite part of your job? I think I know the answer.
What, the shopping? The game Selfridges? No. I don't know. It's really difficult. I thought I knew. I think it's knowing you've made a difference to that client you've made a difference to that candidate, you've made a difference to that co-member because you've given them a piece of work and they've smashed it. Mm. I made a co-member an account manager a couple of months ago. I said, right, I'm not dealing with this client, you're dealing with it, off you go, and smash it out of the park. And seeing their face, I think that's the most important part,
yeah,
is the difference it makes to clients, candidates, and your staff.
Yeah. I mean, I think it sounds like you're an incredible leader, let me just say, but when it comes to like finding new talent, apart from people that you've typically worked with before, are you always trying to keep your, is it finger on the pulse in terms of where they all are? Do you try and engage with talent constantly just to make sure
that
when the time, okay, to give us some idea on how you do that to any founders in our portfolio or anyone looking to join RE?
I do. I go on recommendations a lot. So I'm quite lucky because a lot of my clients are very loyal, but they'll come across other people who work for other agencies and they'll say, yeah, okay. He was brilliant. So then I reach out to them. I say, look, I'm not poaching you. I know you don't want to move yet because you're obviously doing a sterling job. And if I was your manager, I'd bend over backwards to keep you. But if you want to have a conversation, now that could take 3 months or three years, but you keep on touch with them. So a lot of it is recommendation. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is recommendation for my candidates. So when I say to them, right, okay, give me exclusivity. Have you been anywhere else? And she said, yeah, I went to so-and-so and so-and-so agency. He's really good. He's got me through interviews. So you clock all that and you put it in your Rolodex. And then you get the wonderful Petra to either reach out to them or you reach out to them yourself and say, look, you obviously love it there. You've been there the longest time. But if you were looking to make a move, we're an entrepreneurial business. James Kahn believed in us so much. He put his money in me. So check us out.
Yeah, I think it's important. Obviously, you speak about the three C's. We speak about it here at Recruitment Entrepreneur. Mm. What would you say for you has been the easiest to bring over? Did you clients, candidates, consultants? Did you have all three ready to go?
Pretty much.
Okay.
The consultants I did.
Yeah.
Because they basically told me, yes, we're up for it. And do you know what? It's a big ask for them because they were three and a half years in one company. They were billing regularly. Mm. They were doing 3 days in the office or 3 days at home. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
So it's a big ask for them to like start afresh. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to take it because they saw the bigger picture. Clients were great. Clients were absolutely great.
Brilliant.
And candidates were good.
Yeah.
So I think all three of them, I've been very lucky that all three of them have been wanting to grab Legacy London with both hands.
Yeah.
I mean, because clients especially, they're asking, I mean, I'm asking them, okay, it's me and it's my two members of staff at the moment. I'm asking them to believe in me in a brand new entity. And they've just said, yeah, absolutely, we've got this, which I think is a real, I mean, I'm so grateful. Massive Christmas party coming up, I feel. Massive.
I can't wait to be there. So to anybody listening that is, you know, in a similar situation to that you were in before starting Legacy, what advice would you give them if they're thinking about launching on their own?
I would say do your homework, because before I came to Recruitment Entrepreneur, I was going to do it by myself. To be fair, I had the investment. I was going to do it by myself. And then when I looked into it, I thought, what's the most important part for me? Mm. Is it the setting it up, or is it the actual knowing everything's ready and doing it?
Yeah.
So do your homework, because if you think you can handle the finance side of things, the CRM side of things, the marketing side of things, the compliance side of things, you think you're going to invest this amount of time in doing all of that, times that by 10. Seriously, it's a lot more time and effort than you think it is.
Yeah.
Even when I came to Recruitment Entrepreneur, I thought I'd wave a magic wand and Sophia would say, here's your website, all done. That's not how it works, because the content's got to come from you, because it's your brand.
Yeah.
It's your brand, it's your image, which is brilliant. And I'm so grateful for that. But do your research, because if you think you're going to be able to do it by yourself, you might be able to. One, it takes longer. Two, I hate to talk about money, but it costs a lot more. And three, you'll probably lose your sanity. So those are three things. If you can afford to do all that, do it by yourself. Yeah. If not, come somewhere like Recruitment Entrepreneur. I feel like I'm selling RE.
I know.
I need to be paid for this.
was going to say 10% off, just hashtag Ghana.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say though, because I imagine it's been quite nice to come into the office and feel like you're not on your own as well, because there's other JVs here, which has been quite nice. Okay, cool. So let's talk about technology. It's completely revolutionising the recruitment industry. What are you using currently and how has it helped your business? How have you got the team on board? It's obviously a question that a lot of founders have because there's so much out there, isn't
there? So as a woman of a certain age, 35-ish, you can't beat, I'm all for tech, don't get me wrong, but you cannot beat the face-to-face.
Agreed.
With your clients or your candidates. You can't beat the take them out for a breakfast meeting. What are you looking for? You cannot beat going into an office, because when you see a candidate, you can describe to them, these are the offices, this is what it looks like. They've got a great billiard table or whatever. You can't beat that. However, if COVID has taught us anything, is that Zoom and Teams you can actually use. So we use Zooms, we use Team, we use LinkedIn, we use all kinds of social media now. In order to get the right candidates, in order to get the right clients.
I feel like your network are good, like we'll be on social as well.
All our networks are on social. Even little things, like I was explaining to you about the websites and the digital things that are changing, it's just amazing. I hadn't thought a couple of years ago I could log on to a beauty retailer online. I could upload my photo and I could look at what lipsticks suit my skin tone. Amazing. So we're using that a lot more in order to sell products, which is absolutely fantastic. The biggest arsenal in my silo, I suppose, are my team. They're both millennials. They know technology. They know more about technology than I ever will. It's great to learn from them. So Nisha and George will say to me, oh, by the way, there's this new web page, or there's this, or there's this new tech, this, or there's this, or there's this app. I'm thinking, they know it because they've grown up with it. They're the only generation that's grown up with social media and tech and nothing else. So learning from them is great. And wherever possible, we try and use it. However, it doesn't stop the fact that face to face, you just can't beat it.
I hate to say this, and it's quite a controversial opinion, and I was talking about it to one of the other founders earlier. The word lazy is probably a bit harsh, but I think tech can sometimes make you a bit lazy because you hide behind it, right? You hide behind a LinkedIn message or a WhatsApp text and you can get the answer on a 10-second phone call.
Exactly.
So I completely on your side there. It's trying to find a happy balance between tech, but then also interaction, getting out and meeting people for coffee.
Absolutely. Well, I am going to instigate, and this is brand new, hot off the press. I am going to instigate every Friday is no email Friday.
Okay.
So every Friday is you pick up the phone.
Okay. So if someone emails you, you just pick up the phone. Okay, great. I'm on board as well.
Yeah. Or if a client emails you, you pick up the phone. So, or if someone emails you from across the, row, you walk up, get up from your desk, walk up and go and see them. So Fridays, please don't tell the team yet because I haven't told them, because Friday is going to be no email day.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'll join in on that as well.
Off you go then. I think it's really important.
I agree. And obviously you're talking about planning ahead. Let's talk about the future of Legacy London. What's in store?
If I could wave a magic wand, and this is in the planning actually, in 18 months, two years, I'm opening up a small Legacy London in Dubai.
Wow.
Because a lot of our clients are beauty clients and Dubai is a huge market.
Huge.
Absolutely huge market. So we're looking to open at Dubai for the Middle East, which would be great.
Fantastic.
And then eventually we are looking at Legacy London in Southeast Asia, maybe in India, in Mumbai or Delhi. Mumbai is probably the best place to open it up. The Indian and Southeast Asian market growth in luxury products is up 323%.
Wow.
Absolutely huge.
So can I just stop you there? You know your facts.
Oh, I do.
To any founder that's thinking about their future business, know your facts, because you're spitting it out already.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
that just goes to show that you know what you're driving for.
Absolutely. I mean, even in the UK, the luxury business is up 17%.
Wow, okay.
I think it's worth about 8.4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
But in Asia, it's up 323%. Burberry had its first fashion show in Mumbai I think it's autumn, winter 23. It was massive. It's the first time a luxury brand has opened up in India like that.
Wow.
So, I think that's the next place to go.
Good for you. Well, yeah, is there any recruiters out there that have a network in your industry?
Oh, let me know.
Get in touch with Dana.
Knowing that they're opening up in India is great because we already have the traction with them in the UK.
Okay.
So we can then say we'll follow you to India.
Yeah. Okay.
Because Pakistan is going to be massive.
Fantastic.
Absolutely massive.
Nice. Well, look, I think one more question to wrap up the podcast. So if you could summarise in three words what you believe an entrepreneur in the world of recruitment needs, the skills, what would you say?
I think the biggest one is belief in yourself, because we're not all arrogant. And there are times when we go home and we just put our head in our hands and we think, is this the right thing to do? One is belief in yourself, and one is belief in the team. And by that, I don't just mean the consultants. I mean people in recruitment or entrepreneur, people like the CEO and, you know, or the finance guy, and pick up the phone and say, I've had a bad day. You know, they're there for you because they want you to do well.
Yeah.
So I think belief, knowing that each day is going to be different, and you will have bad days and you will have good days. And just make sure the good days outweigh the bad days. Secondly, is having a good team in RE and in your consultants and also your candidates and your clients. I mean, that's so important. It's almost like, you know, put your arms around them and let them put your arms around you.
Yeah.
I was speaking to a chief people officer and she was saying, oh, you stand down. I said, yeah, I am because of this and this. And just talking to her, she didn't have to do that, but having that team structure around you is great. And lastly is being honest, knowing what you can do and what you can't do. So when you, even little things, like when you speak to the board and say, yeah, we're going to do this. Are you really?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't put yourself down, but be honest.
Yeah.
And that goes through everything. It goes through your candidates, goes through your clients, goes through your consultants. If you're honest and you show them a way out, you can't go wrong.
Completely agree with you. I think honesty is the best policy,
yeah,
as they say.
So is this a good time to tell Sophia I don't like her LinkedIn post? Joking.
There we go. Well, look, thank you so much.
No problem
at all. I've absolutely loved every minute of it.
Pleasure.
Obviously wish you all the best with the business. And I mean, I'll see you in 10 minutes for
yeah,
coffee anyway.
Exactly. See you
Thanks,
soon
Dana.
Or a Prosecco. See you soon.